Yeah.
There, I did it.
Did it.
So I just wanted to, I was thinking this morning, since I am annoying you all with reminders that this is day 9 of Christmas. And so when I was looking at this, how many letters are in the word Christmas? Well, the count is 9.
Nine.
How many letters are in the word Christ? 6.
Six.
So 6 of the 9 letters, that's two-thirds of the word Christmas, is the word Christ. And for our Spanish speakers, what is the word MAS meaning?
More.
More Christ. Now, I'm sure that's not how the word was composed, but I thought that's pretty interesting that we are looking at more of Christ in this season. And so, what I wanted to do at the beginning of this year, as I've been hammering away here for a couple of years now, is getting God's perspective, seeing life from a 30,000 foot perspective, seeing it from how God sees our circumstances. And so I just wanted to come back into the Word today with this, my title, A Jesus is More Primer for 2022. And so here's my paragraph, if you may have read it already. But more than a baby, more than a redeemer, more than a friend, more than a suffering servant, more, always beyond, always intimate, always ridiculously, unwaveringly, unstoppingly in love with us. This is the one who invites us to close all competing programs and reset to a soul focus, him. He knows our journal entries of the upcoming 12 months. He sees the news headlines through midnight, December 31st, 2022. He sees the victories and the tragedies, the births and the deaths, the breakthroughs and the devastations. In and through it all, he is unshaken and unshakable, and he is powerfully and majestically for us. Who Jesus is, all that he says he is, all that the entirety of Scripture confirms he is ours. Our provision, our wisdom, our peace, and so much more. And so this morning, as I was looking at the newspaper, really nothing has changed. The bulk of the headlines are just reporting tragedy, disaster, death, ongoing pandemic, and the spiral downward just continues. And if you base how you're going to live today and into this year of 2022 based on what is reported in the news, however you get your news, you would probably just want to go back to bed, pull the covers up over your head, and ignore the fact that we have to deal with this. But our perspective as the redeemed ones, as those who know Jesus, we have a totally not new, it's not new, it's old, but we have a totally other perspective on what life is. And so for all that is wrong in our world, and even aware of that, not taking a Pollyanna look, but with all that is wrong and getting worse in our world, for all of that, there is more good in the world. There is more kingdom advance happening in the world today than all of the negative stuff put together. And it's important for us as the church, as those who've been are being sent out into this world to represent Jesus. We need to understand that Jesus is aware of all the negative. He's aware of all the headlines. He's aware of all the pain and the disappointment and the frustrations and the waiting that we're dealing with. But in the midst of all of this, Jesus is more. He's bigger, he's more majestic, he's more powerful, and he intervenes in the midst of the situations where there is intense suffering and injustice, which we're all aware of. In the midst of this, those who are suffering in that, they are not left alone. Jesus is in that with them. He watches them, he provides for them, he speaks truth to them, and he brings his comfort to them even in the midst of the worst. Now, so that's the truth, that's the perspective. And so I wanted, in this primer today, I thought, well, let's just go through some ABCs of who Jesus is. And as you will notice, I didn't get out of the A's because there is just so much about who Jesus is. And I want us to just be able to focus this morning on some of these things that we know. But I think maybe sometimes we hear so much negative stuff, so much of the ugly, so much of the hatred and all the rest of it, that it seems to, even to Christians, that scripture is, well, it's a little beside the point. It's a little passé. It's a little weakened, because how can it possibly respond to all the ugly? And I just want us to come back to a place of knowing, you know what? Scripture can respond to all the ugly and can put it in a proper perspective. So that's what I want us to do today on the second day of a brand new year. So, you know, we don't want to be going looking for bridges to jump off of. So let's look at Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. Just this one verse that we know, but we recite it so often, I just think it gets watered down for us. At least I've been aware of that as I've been preparing this message and thinking about this. So in Matthew 28, in the Passion, Jesus came close to them, the disciples, and said, "All the authority of the universe has been given to me." Well, all the authority, all the power, what does that mean for us as Jesus followers? What does it mean for us that we are in him? We are now living his life. He lives his life through us. What does it mean that all the authority of the universe has been given to Jesus? How does that relate to what we're dealing with today? And, you know, I know our circumstances. I know the difficulties, the pains, the sorrows, the frustrations, the stacked up issues that we all face. And how does the fact that Jesus has all the authority in the universe, can anything happen in the universe that is outside of Jesus' authority? No. So with all of these things that are happening, all the disasters that are happening, however, whether it's natural disasters or it's armies that are running amok or whatever the circumstances might be, the tribal warfare and all of these things of terrorism, etc., and the pandemic, is Jesus finding himself lacking provision to respond to this, or do we believe that he is more than enough even in the midst of that? So if we believe that Jesus has all the authority of the universe, then all of these things submit to Jesus' authority. So now, as you look at the thing that is most pressing to you, as you live or as you read, you think, well, how does that work in this situation? And this is the mystery part of this for all of us, because the truth of Scripture is confronted by all of the ills. What do we do with it? Do we choose that Scripture is true when it says Jesus himself says all the authority in the universe has been given to me? So no power, no authority, no government, no despot, no whatever, can have authority outside of the authority of Jesus. So it doesn't make sense to us when we see these things happen. Of course, the world asks, you know, the standard question, how can a loving God, and then fill in the blanks? They're always asking these questions because they don't believe. So it's a good way of discounting who God is and what the scriptures are saying. And so for us, what do we do at the beginning of this year on the second day of January, 2022? We look at this scripture where Jesus says, all the authority of the universe is given to me. So if we believe that, then we submit to Jesus' authority. And then we say, there are circumstances which we do not believe, we don't understand, we don't get it. And then, you know, maybe you guys have never done this, but I do this often. I think to myself, if I were God, I would do something different than what's happening now. I would eradicate. I would ship off to a foreign planet, something, someone, someone's, et cetera. You know, but fortunately for all of us, I'm not God, and I don't get to do all of these things that I would do if I were he. And so we have to submit to his authority, trusting that whether it makes sense to us, whether it's painful to us or not, he's in charge. He knows, he understands, and he's still loving, even in the midst of the crazy making that goes on in the world and in our own personal experiences. So the first thing we look at here, the first blank, obviously, is Jesus is authority. He is all authority. And we may not like it. We may not understand it. We may prefer it to be different. You know, just like the authority of his timing. How often have we talked about God's timing not measuring up to what our timing is? You know, I often think he should have done things 2 years ago or beyond, you know, and certainly 11th hour has passed for me many times. And he is unshaken and unshakable, as I might shake my fist at him and going, what is the deal? Why doesn't this change? Why don't you fix this? And so he's unshaken and unshakable. And I am so eternally grateful that my little hissy fits that I might come up with do not shake heaven's authority. Because there are billions of us on this planet, and we all, at one time or another, want to shake our fists. If we're honest, we want to shake our fists and go, I don't like this. Why don't you fix this? Why don't we bring an end to this? Why don't you make this right? And so we take a one down position and say, Jesus is all authority. I'm not. I don't understand. I am going to find his peace in the knowledge that scripture is true. What Jesus says about himself is true. Okay, hammer that plenty there. Let's go to the next one. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1, and this is a pretty interesting thing that John says here in 1 John 2, 1. He says, you are my dear children, and I write these things to you so that you won't sin. But if anyone does sin, we continually have, and the Passion Translation says, we continually have a forgiving Redeemer who is face to face with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. A forgiving Redeemer. And the Aramaic word, when I looked that up, it says it can be translated advocate, or which also could be translated a defense attorney. And it could, because it's such a big concept, it could also mean counselor, comforter, encourager, intercessor. All of these words, and it is the word parakletos. So it's the same wording used for the Holy Spirit. In John 14, when Jesus promises to send the comforter. It's the parakletos. And so John is saying here, we have a forgiving redeemer. We have a comforter, an intercessor in Jesus. He is our advocate. Well, if the one who has all the authority in the universe is also the one who intercedes for us, what does his interceding do for us? He takes our confusion, our frustration, all our questionings, all our anger, all our fist shaking, and he interprets all of that for the Father. And the Holy Spirit intercedes for us as our comforter with groanings too deep for words. So all of the things we bring to the Father are presented because Jesus is our advocate. He is also our intercessor. He is the one who brings those things through the Holy Spirit to the Father. And so at the beginning of this year, we have someone who knows, who sees, who understands what we don't understand. And, you know, Sue and I have just been talking lately about how little we really understand about how our computers work. And we're so far from being computer geeks, it's terrible. And so, you know, our lack of understanding is vast and it goes way beyond computers, at least mine does. And so there's so many things that in the not understanding, we just have to, we trust, don't we? We don't understand how many things work, but we use them, we take advantage of them. And so here is Jesus being presented as the advocate, the one who intercedes for us, our defense attorney when there are attacks against us, when the enemy comes and wants to attack us. And we all experience this because, as John Eldridge would say, we need to remember that we're always at war. There's a spiritual warfare that we deal with, and it presents itself in all kinds of ways. It can present itself in unresolved issues or the world issues that we pile onto our own hearts, or it can be the pain, it can be the aging issues that some of us deal with, it can be all kinds of issues, threats of snowstorms, etc., that can weigh us down and burden our hearts, etc., on various levels. And so we come with that understanding that here is the one who has all authority, who is for us, who is our advocate, who intercedes for us as we head into this year with all of the unknowns, with all of the things that could scare us beyond belief. And I think it just gives us, can give us comfort to know that Scripture bears itself out over and over and over again with the brilliance of Jesus, the genius with which he guides our lives. Does he resolve all the issues to our liking in our timing? Yeah, of course, we're all going to shake our heads. No, all of us have issues and situations that we would love to have settled, resolved, erased. How many of us would like to go back and erase things from a long time ago and just fix that so it never happens? But that's not how Jesus works. Jesus grows us up in him, builds our faith, builds our confidence as we just keep coming back to him like little children in our fears and in our anxieties, in our fatigue, our frustrations. And we find a place in him that is more than enough. So he's all authority, he is our advocate. And the third thing in Revelation 1:8, this verse that we've looked at many times, and this is Jesus himself speaking to John in this revelation. Well, the Passion Translation says, "I am the Aleph and the Tav, the beginning and the end." We normally call it, "I am the Alpha and the Omega." So the Alpha and Omega, what he's using here are the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet. I am the very beginning and I am the end. Well, what does that mean for us? That he's not just Alpha, the one in charge, but he's also Alpha as in from the beginning and Omega to the very end. So when he promises the disciples at the end of Matthew 28, I will be with you until the very end of the age, until Omega has the dot after it and all time ends, I will be with you. Then on top of that, here is this verse in John chapter 8, which we often read and we may not, we may not catch the full impact of John chapter 8, verse 58. Jesus says to them, I give you this eternal truth. I have existed long before Abraham was born, for I am. What is the impact of Jesus' words, and who is he saying this to? He's saying this to the religious rulers. When he cites Abraham, what is his point? He's going back to their Alpha, the beginning of the people of Israel. God chose Abram, called him then Abraham, said he would be the father of many nations, and talked about the stars in the sky and the sands on the seashore, and that his descendants would be more than all of that. And so to these Pharisees, these ones who are children of Abraham in their perspective, and he says to them, well, I give you this eternal truth. Before Abraham was born, I am. He's talking about his eternal existence. He was before Abraham. And what, of course, if you read down in verse 59, when they heard this, they picked up rocks to stone him. Why did they do that? Well, that was heresy. You weren't allowed to say anything like that. That did not line up with their theology. They were certainly not about to admit that Jesus was before Abraham. That would say, as Jesus was boldly saying, I'm God. I am the eternal God. And the Passion Translation says, this is an eternal truth. Not just, verily, verily, I say unto thee, you know, as the King James might say it, which means the same thing, of course, but it's an eternal truth. I am before Abraham was born. So that was heresy to them. What does it mean for us today at the beginning of the year 2022? It means we have incredible hope, because this is the eternal God who has sent his son that we are celebrating at this Christmas season to be all of those things, to be a baby, to be a redeemer, to be a friend, to be a suffering servant, and then so much more. We're discovering so much more in these years that we walk with him. And I downloaded from one website, you know, the titles of Jesus, and this one website anyway had 50, but there are so many more. There are so many other things that Jesus said about himself. I'm the light of the world. I'm the bread of life. You know, so many other descriptors, because no one word is ever going to describe all that God is. So, I mean, those are easy to find if you want to search for those. You may have already downloaded those on your own anyway, many times in your files. So Jesus is all authority of the universe. He is our advocate, and he is the Alpha as well as the Omega. So as we head into this brand new year, again, with everything that is unresolved and humanly unresolvable, I would think, we have these eternal truths that we base our existence, we base our lives on. We can look at this year with the supreme confidence that Jesus is all we need. You know, we sing a song, you know, we've got one of our worship songs we would do, "You're all I have, you're all I've ever needed." And we need to dig into scripture more and more, I think, to be reminded of the bigger truth of who Jesus is, who God is, what this new life is that we've been called to, that is, that dwarfs the combined issues and problems of our personal lives and the world. So we have this joy that is ours, that is unspeakable and full of glory. We have confidence that in spite of the things that don't make sense to us, we can have confidence in him. He is our leader. He is the one, is the gentle guide, the shepherd. He is the one who takes care of us, who is gentle like a mother hen gathering her chicks under her wings. I mean, he has all of these images that we know and that we've come to know. And so somehow we need to find a way to categorize the external things of our lives in this world and find peace in him. And once we come to peace in him, then I think we find strength and a basis for looking at and responding to things around us, asking him, what is in my hand to respond to this situation? Because one of the things that happens in our day of immense communication is that we receive way too much information than we can truly respond to. Our souls get overloaded and they just shut down. So, sorry, I'm going to implode if I take in more and I'm just not dealing with this. So have you ever been surprised that you have no emotional response to something, even though it's a tragedy? It's because our souls are just, they're saturated and they're like, I can't deal with this. So we need to start our days with the confidence that is ours in Jesus. And the truth of scripture, we need to let it sing in our spirits. So if we're ever going to be able to do the things that Jesus calls us to do, to be agents of reconciliation in the brokenness of our world, we're going to have our confidence well established in him, even as we confront the issues in our daily lives, in our own families. We need to know that God is in charge, that he is more than enough. And as I was doing this week, there's this old hymn that I wrote the words out. I don't know how many of us know these words, but let me just read these words by Eliza Hewitt. The hymn title is "More About Jesus Would I Know." More about Jesus would I know, more of his grace to others show, more of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me. More about Jesus let me learn, more of his holy will discern. Spirit of God, my teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me. More about Jesus in his word, holding communion with my Lord, hearing his voice in every line, making each faithful saying mine. More about Jesus on his throne, riches in glory, all his own. More of his kingdom's sure increase, more of his coming, Prince of Peace. Just beautiful words from a lady. I looked a little bit of her story, who had suffered a crippling illness and through the illness found deeper trust and faith and confidence in Jesus. And so she was healed, but it left her weaker throughout the rest of her life. And so here are these words of one who has learned what it is to walk with Jesus through deep waters. And so I think as the beginning of this year, that needs to be our focus. If we're going to confront, and if we're going to be advocates, if we're going to be those who are salt and light, we can't do it out of a place of fear and questioning and frustration and unresolved groanings. We need to find peace in Jesus. He promises that we have his peace, his joy. He gives us his Holy Spirit as a comforter, as the parakletos, as the one who comes alongside us to encourage us and help us to move forward. So in the midst of all of this, that's what is ours. That's what we can cling to, not just these three titles of Jesus, but so many more that are ours this morning. So I'd like to pray for us. And then as we close up today, I'd like us to be able to, if we can think, find words for how we've found our peace, our joy, our comfort in these three words of Jesus, or however he's revealed himself. How has he met us in our pain, in our questions, in our all the issues we face personally, or how we confront the issues within the world? And how has he shown himself bigger, stronger, more? So as you ponder that, let me pray for us as we finish this part up here this morning. So Jesus, we come to you, and we, with the songwriter, say, more of Jesus would I know. Would you increase in our hearts, increase in our souls? Could we find a greater platform from which to live our lives in this year of 2022? Could we be bolder to speak our confidence in you? Could we speak peace into troubled waters, into troubled hearts? Could we receive from you more in those areas where we still are fearful and still are troubled and still are anxious and still are not dealing well with our pain? Would you be more in those situations? For each one on this screen and others who are with us in spirit here this morning, could we understand that you are bigger than whatever situation looms largest for us this morning, right now? And I would just pray your peace in those things. Whatever major thing bubbles up to the surface here as the hardest, the heaviest, the deepest, the ugliest, would you be more in that? And would you direct us to your word? Would you direct us to worship? Because as that song says, you're worthy of it all. And so we bring all to you, all our burdens, we lay them at your feet, knowing that you care for us. And at the beginning of this year, we recognize and we want to affirm that all authority is yours, that you're our advocate. And we understand, at least in part, that you are Alpha and you are also Omega. And that's enough for us. So we thank you for all that you are, for all that you will share with us that you are in this year. And that's how we look forward with hope to these next 12 months. And we bless you. We bless you for the power that is in you. In Jesus' name, amen. So if we have any sharing, any things we've learned, and I know there are plenty here on the screen, anything you can find words for to share how God has, in the toughest thing maybe, or just how he's shown himself good, faithful, whatever. Yep, Angela.
You're muted.
Yep.
I won't go into too much detail, but last year, my two boys had a very fallen out, and they didn't talk to each other for quite a long time. And my heart was very broken, and I prayed and prayed and prayed and waited and waited. And I knew from reading God's word that in his perfect timing, that everything was going to be good. And he surprised me on my birthday when we all got together for our dinner and my two boys talked to each other and still are talking to each other. And I know in God's way, he had a work in their hearts. And with their maturity, hopefully, they will learn about themselves and about each other. You know, so God did all of that without me being anything specific about anything. He just knew my heart was broken, you know.
Wow. So, what a beautiful birthday present.
Yeah.
That's so good. So good.
I could say a little something, a couple of things. First of all, Don, if you read the comics this morning like you usually do, Beetle Bailey was all about this. You see that? He went to the chaplain and he said he was having a spiritual crisis. And so the chaplain asked him to talk about it and everything. And he said he wanted to know how a benevolent God could create somebody like Sarge. Of course, always beats him up all the time and everything. But for me, part of this, you know, we see all these bad things and all this evil. I guess this is what the work the Lord's been doing in me in the last couple of few years, you know. It's not all about me. You know, that's what it comes down to usually in the end. You know, I don't like this. I don't like that. It makes me uncomfortable. Well, you know, that's because it's all about me, but it isn't all about me. And actually, the more I can get to that point, the less some of these other things really bother me. I mean, we shouldn't like evil. We shouldn't, you know, just accept it or say it's fine or whatever. But, you know, somehow it's just not all about how comfortable I am with things that are going on. And then furthermore, we see that sometimes we see things that are bad, and in the end, they do turn out to be better. That doesn't always happen. It doesn't always happen, but it happens a lot, you know. There have been bad things that have happened in our family, with our family, and so forth. But in the end, I see things better generally. I don't think one can explain everything away that way. But at any rate, for me, it's just got to let God be God, and it's not all about me.
He's all authority. That's awesome. Yep.
I'd say mine is similar. When I get worked up because I want to fix things, right? I just have to surrender.
Yeah.
I don't have answers. He's the answer. Put it, just take it to the foot of the cross. I think I need to, we don't use that terminology much in the vineyard, taking things to the foot of the cross. That's different expressions of the body of Christ, but the reality is still there. And just surrendering and knowing that if I reflect back on situations that I had no idea how they were going to work out.
Right.
In a high percentage of those cases, they worked out. And in the, and this is what Brian was saying, and it's to his glory. It's not to our comfort. So that when you asked that question, the word surrender came to me. But surrendering to him,
right?
Not necessarily surrendering to, right? So I think that's what came to me, this surrender.
It's good.
Remember having a discussion with an Amish guy who was in our house church once, and he pose the question, how can we pray for more power to our God? And I've thought about that off and on. And I mean, we say he has all authority and all power and everything, but he gives us free will. Somehow, this same God who knows the end from the beginning and everything has created people who have free will, who can choose to obey him or not. And so the more we submit ourselves to him and to his will, in a sense, the more power we give to him. We give him the power over us, which in, I mean, it's semantic somewhat here or whatever, but, you know, more power by just submitting to him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we don't actually change the level of his power, but we access it more somehow,
right,
by getting out of the way. You know, that's my biggest issue. It's just get out of the way. And yeah. And it, you know, and I'm fully aware of the great challenge also, because when there are those unresolved things as of today, as of the 2nd of January, 2022, then, you know, it's like, it almost feels like I'm aware of this. So I should, you know, I should just be completely broken by all of this and never move again because of this situation. And yet, if we're honest with ourselves, that doesn't resolve an issue either.
Nope.
And so it's a matter of letting God be God, as Brian says, having that confidence and having our peace in him, and then asking him, what's in my hand, as we used to say a few years ago, what's in my hand that allows me to respond to this? And then, you know, and there are some things we can't respond to, you know, and so we give it over to him. We cast those cares back on him, as Peter tells us. We just keep casting them there because we can't carry it. It's too heavy. And so, Deanna, you're getting ready, I think, to share something.
Do I have that look? Mm-hmm. Well, it seems pretty petty, but it just, God is so cool, as you were sharing. We have a situation where we have a very close-knit group of friends that we do a lot of life together. One of those friends, because of theological differences, we and our daughter are continually excluded of certain events, and sometimes it's hurtful. And we go, what's wrong with me? What character flaw do I need to change to be included? And then I look at Jesus and I go, well, he's perfect. And some people don't choose him. And we have to be like, okay, well, we'll allow that. And figuring out, but you know what? I can have peace because that's not in my control. You know, if people don't tell me all the wrong things about me so I can change and be a better person or whatever, that's not in my control. But I can be a person that's inclusive and looks at the outcast in situation. And that's my responsibility. I'm not responsible for this other thing that we don't love, but we're responsible to be like Christ. And I guess, and there's always hope, because in heaven it will function right, even though it's a little hurtful right now. It hurts my feelings when I see my daughter left out and we find out about the events that our close-knit group, you know what I mean? And I just love that God is cool and can bring confidence that we can be like Christ and reach people, you know, and even if it isn't reciprocated. So
that's good.
Yeah, it is good. Yeah. Yeah. Anybody else got something that's percolating in there?
That's just another way to know that it's not all about me. I think we get to see these things from very many angles and options. And so that brings it more deeply into our spirits that it is not about me.
Right.
And there was obviously there's plenty of input for us that tells us it should be all about us, you know, and our fallen nature wants it all about us. So, you know, we fight this all the time, don't we, to one extent or another. And this is our confidence. This is how we want to start this brand new year and with all its major, major challenges. And, you know, I think, I guess I'm thinking even when a situation is not resolved and like with illnesses and whatever, and we pray for people and they still die, you know, I think what we need to do is have the confidence that God was with them through to the end, and that he, in his love, he's chosen to take them to be with him. And obviously that's never our hope. That's never what we're looking for, but that's God and his faithfulness. He isn't unfaithful. He just can't be unfaithful to himself. And so that's our confidence that even though it doesn't make sense, it's still what Jesus is all about and what he offers us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's pretty freeing to know that, you know, we're not responsible for other people, but just we're responsible to be loving to a lost and dying world, you know?
Yeah, that's right. That's
our responsibility and our privilege and our honor and our joy and delight too.
Yeah. Chris, you're on.
Yeah, you said percolating, and this is still percolating, and I don't know whether to share it or not, but let's see if it's helpful. I read a few weeks back an article, I think it was a podcast by a Christian, which was arguing that God, in certain situations, whether they be national, and I'm thinking of Myanmar because it's very much on my heart, or personal, like some of you have shared. And he was making a fairly convincing argument that God can't intervene. And when I first read that and first reacted to the article, I thought, you know, that's not right, because he has all authority, you know, and all the things you said, Don, so well and so encouragingly. But I wonder whether there is a sense in which, having set things in motion, having given the evil one limited rule, having witnessed the fall, which has its consequences, like mortality, whether there is a sense, and I don't want, this is why I'm hesitating, because I don't want to be heretical, but there is a sense in which God can't intervene. Yes, he can, but actually it's like a father intervening in every situation where their kid is just approaching danger or eating the wrong thing or going off with the wrong people or whatever. He do you know what I mean? He something in his loving nature and the way things work, he chooses not to, and possibly even can't. This is the bit I'm wrestling with, because I know he can, but it's like if he was constantly intervening and reversing things that are natural and that are built into our universe, it would be a pretty messy and selective and, I can't think of the word, but, you know, unfair, really, universe. So there is, in a really strange way, a sense in which he can't intervene. I don't know what you make of that, but it's on my mind.
Yeah, well, I think it's true. There are things that are set in motion. He's given us the free will. Obviously, the stuff that's going on in the world is a result of the fall, you know, all of it. And we all bear the consequences of that in ourselves and whatever. And so, yeah, I think there's a point at which there's no chaos in him. There's no confusion. There's no, oh no, now what do I do? You know, there's like we have. And so I think in that supreme confidence of God in whatever is the sovereign and perfect solution to something has to be within the confines of our free will. Other, like you say, or it would just, we would have a God who is, capricious, you know, we would never know. It's like, you know, who, the one he likes best or the one that looks best or whatever gets all the favors, you know. So I think there's a point at which God confines himself from eradicating all evil, you know, in this time, and this is part of the mystery that we all live with, that we, you know, as we look back over history, there are just things that we would all say, if I were God, I would have done, you know. But in his kindness, you know, I think he just quietly says, but you're not, little one. So
right.
It's good for everyone that you're not. And, you know, I think of, you know, some of these movies that have tried to portray God, and, you know, people have tried to take on that role and have quickly realize that they're way beyond their abilities and whatever. So, yeah, I think we just have to, you know, as we kind of mentioned last year, just we have to live embracing the mystery that is God, embracing the mystery and the reality of this kingdom that is moving forward. Or as Eliza Hewitt says at the end here, you know, more of his kingdom's sure increase. I mean, the truth is God's kingdom is moving forward. There are really good things happening in the midst of all the other stuff. Our problem often is that we hear so much of the bad that the good sounds like, well, that's just superfluous. Who cares about that? Look at all these ugly things. But actually, there are so many amazing things. Just in one of our article magazines that we receive, this magazine for old people that we get, you know, which is often so full of really negative things and awful aging stuff and whatever, you know, they decided this time, you know, the editor starts off saying, you know, why do we hate each other so much? Why are there so many problems? Why is there this, or that? And he goes, you know what? I'm going to let someone else deal with that. There's plenty of that going on around. We're going to look at what is good, what is really happening that is positive and encouraging.
Yes.
This magazine is filled with articles of people coming through and people going beyond the needed area and helping someone and positive reports. And I mean, it almost makes me like this magazine now, because for the first time in a long time, it's got good news. It really is helpful to receive good news. No, and so, you know, we need to send encouraging notes to one another, and we just need to remember that people need encouragement. We need encouragement, and I think that's part of this leaning into God helps us to realize that this life we have, you know, what we're living right now is such a minuscule portion of the eternity that is ours, you know, and so we just want to do what God places before us to do in peace and in confidence and in fullness of joy that comes from him. I don't want to preach again. Let me stop the recording. Let me see who's going to pray us out here this morning.